The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662 6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
In our 25th year, On the Air, Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you even in advance for calling in to the program. As you hear our mantra regularly, call in, win stuff. It really is that easy. Just participate on the program, and we send you goodies for doing so. Maybe you've got a tech question. Maybe you want to have some additional input for another listener. Maybe you want to share with us your favorite app these days and why you like it so much. Whatever the case, we'd love to hear from you, and you can do that anytime at your convenience, 24/7. The best way, of course, using our free app and hitting that button that says message the studio and allows you to ask a question, make a comment, help another listener, whatever the case, even share some tech rage if you'd like. And that's very easy. Or the old-fashioned way still works. We still take a lot of phone calls and deal with those on a 24/7 basis anytime. And that's 800-899-INTO, 800-899-4686. Again, anytime at your convenience. Our next guest is with a computer vision company focused on teaching cameras to see like human beings. I think that's an awesome concept. The CEO of TrueFace is Sean Moore. Sean, welcome into tomorrow. How you doing?
Good, Dave. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. That introduction just kind of blows me away because on the one hand, it's really cool to be able to say you can teach cameras to see like a human being. And on the other hand, I think it might scare people. It's like, oh my gosh, they're taking over. Here we go, right?
Right.
So tell me a little bit about TrueFace, what exactly it is that you guys do.
Absolutely. So, you know, human beings are very good at pattern recognition, and patterns can take the form of a face, an object, a group of people moving in a direction. And so our goal is really to be the brains of those cameras and to get to the pertinent information a lot faster. And so extracting faces through facial recognition, reading license plate through license plate detection, and just analyzing the entire frame of what the cameras are already recording or already ingesting is really where we see the value in our technology.
Ah, very cool. We hear a lot about facial recognition these days, whether it's to help you log into your computer or your phone or to be able to get in a door or any number of things. Are we kind of just scratching the surface of what you think is capable into tomorrow, if you will?
I believe so. You know, we've been, myself and my co-founder have been working in facial recognition since 2012. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Apple did us a great service in 2017 with adding facial recognition to a phone. And it wasn't the first company to do it. It was just the first company to get the consumer comfortable with the use of this technology. And, you know, we're in some unfortunate circumstances with COVID right now, but it's pushing people to think more about contactless payment, contactless access. And one way to do that and to do that really efficiently is through things like facial recognition. So, you know, I agree. I think there are some public perception fears around the use of this technology, but it's important to know that there are kind of three bands in which facial recognition operates. One is your personal device. So it's just looking for you. It's looking for you to access your apps, your banking. And the second would be kind of a one to few, meaning access to a construction site or access into a facility where there's a preset group of people that you're looking for to provide access to. And then number three is really where I think that the fear lies, and it should be split into two, because some people call it surveillance. That would be real-time facial recognition on a street corner, mass surveillance. But what we typically see more of is actually investigative work. So it's using facial recognition technology to scan through days of footage and extract out an individual that may have committed a crime and to use that information as a point of reference for an investigation. So, there are a variety of ways in which facial recognition can be used, and I think that as long as we have the right boundaries or guardrails in place, that this technology can be extremely valuable to a lot of people.
And to your point, Sean, there's some very valid concerns there by all means. But to your first point about how our phones are doing it and pretty much making us feel very comfortable, I've been doing facial recognition on my Samsung Android device since they came out with it as well, so much so that I almost forget my PIN because I never need to use it now. I just make sure that the phone, although wearing a mask is a problem because it doesn't recognize my face, so you got to pull the mask down for a second or then say, wait a minute, what is my PIN? Hold on, and then put it in. But I think a lot of people, as you suggested, have become very comfortable with that and saying, fine, I get what it's doing with my phone, and it keeps anyone else from being able to access my phone. And that helps this whole industry, I'm sure, for us being more comfortable with things like that. And then, for additional uses of facial recognition, technology is there to help, hopefully.
Right. And you bring up a good point about the mask technology, and it's something that, we've seen some of the Asian countries, has been dealing with this problem. Not a problem, has been dealing with masks for a very long time. And so it's fairly new over here in the U.S. to have to use this technology when people are covering up 40 to 60% of their faces.
Yeah.
And so companies like ours need to adapt very quickly to that. And the first really component of that is detecting if a mask is present. Not running the identification piece yet. It's just purely detecting, is someone wearing a mask? Hmm. And then from there, once you've identified the mask, you start to look for the points in the face that you can extract for a positive identification.
Which, of course, now are somewhat limited, but I'm imagining, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, that certainly among the more useful ones are the eyes, right? So if you can still see the eyes, then that's a major advantage.
It definitely is. You've got to think about it. If for round purposes, you've got 100 points on the face, and now you typically can read 100 and get a 90, now you can read 40. So it does become increasingly difficult, but you still can come to a positive conclusion on that identity with retraining algorithms.
Gotcha. One of the things you talk about at trueface.ai, your website, is spoof detection. What is that?
Mm-hmm. It's the ability for us to detect if someone is trying to falsify information. So you imagine you are transacting mobily through your phone for your online banking, and we need to be able to detect let's say you're holding up a picture of me on your phone to get access to my account. And so that's typically very difficult to do, and we've been working on that now for just about 7 years, to look at the context and how it's changing. So are we seeing a quick change in pixels in the background? Are we seeing someone hold up a phone or an iPad or a picture of an individual to try to gain access? So it's really critical that as people move to more online sort of transactions, we have technology in place to prevent people from falsifying their information or their identity. And the same can be said for access control into a building. Let's say you steal a card of mine that has my picture on it. You hold it up to a camera in a building to gain my access. We need to be able to protect against that. And so we've developed technology that can read the liveness as well as the spoof attempts.
Excellent. I mean, that makes perfect sense, and you certainly want to have those concerns. I know people said that early on when we talked about facial recognition. It's, just hold up a picture. Well, have you tried that? It generally does not work. So, and that's why, because of the technology involved in spoof detection. But why do you guys say that it's important now more than ever?
More online, you look at things like telehealth or online notaries, online proctoring, there's just a massive influx of demand for facial recognition to verify digital identity. Hmm. And for that to be practical, you need to have these mechanisms in place. And you think about a bank who's under significant regulation, you got to check these boxes that you can't give easy access to an account where you can hold up a picture and gain access to my account. So it is really important, and I think that one of the outcomes of these, these national lockdowns is that people will realize, well, maybe I can do these things online now, or I'm more comfortable doing them online now. So there's a significant demand here for increasingly innovative technology. And, fortunately, we've been building it for, like I said, just about 8 years.
Wow. Yeah, and it makes perfect sense. I'm glad that you're continuing to progress in this whole technological end of things. And we talk about masks. You see a lot of memes lately where, you could never wear a mask into a bank, and now you have to, for example. But at least the way you've described the technology, you might still be able to identify a potential bank robber or someone who did, in fact, rob the bank or something like that, even though everyone in the facility is now wearing a mask, with whatever other points you're able to use. So don't think, any of you robbers out there, that, well, I'll just blend in and walk off with a lot of money. It's not going to be that easy, I don't guess.
Right. It won't be. As this industry evolves, we're continuing to find ways to use less points of the face to extract a positive ID. And early tests show that it does reduce the identification rate, but you don't always need 99%. Sometimes 75% is enough to generate a lead for an investigation. Sometimes it's 99%. It depends on who we work with. But it is important to know that today is the worst facial recognition will ever be. And what that means is every single day we're thinking of new solutions or thinking of new ways to improve our solution.
That's kind of a clever way to put it. Today is the worst it'll ever be because it's always getting better. I like that. That's a cool concept. I noticed one of the things on your website is a close-up of a girl's eye, and she's got a lot of freckles. So I'm assuming now maybe freckles is yet another facial recognition technique?
We don't really disclose the... the future of what we're working on.
Ah, come on, I won't tell anyone.
But there are things that we're looking at. Like I said, if we have restrictions on the nose and the mouth being covered, what else can we pick up on?
Yeah.
So, it's a really, really cool technology. And, it manifests itself in a few ways. One of the things that we're really excited about is an Air Force contract that we have for base access control. So, we're looking at really protecting the nation's assets and people, and it's important for us that we continue to go down that road and to find the best way to do it. So, if looking at something like freckles is on that roadmap, then it's something that we're absolutely looking at.
Good. And I absolutely understand the reason for confidence in something like that, because it may end up being national security, let alone other security techniques. When this whole impact of COVID-19 is over, and please God, sooner than later, how do you envision computer vision being used after all this?
I think the biggest change that we will see, in that we've been having conversations about with some industry leaders, is entertainment, sports, and travel. So it's areas where people are, used to mass gathering, and the UFC, just held one of their fights recently as the first sports entertainment to come out of this. And you've got to have precautions in place. So, you're looking at social distancing. You're looking at, are these people wearing masks? Are these people supposed to be in here? Are they the right identity? So as we look at the different industries in which we'll come back online, I think you look at travel specifically, and you've got to expect that now with sanitation protocol and more contactless, you're going to lengthen the time it takes to get on a plane in some ways, but you're also going to reduce it by things like facial recognition and automating processes that typically you've got to wait in line in TSA and show your ID. Your TSA agents aren't going to want to handle everyone's IDs now and be 1 foot from everyone. So
yeah.
We're really looking at how do we provide a more wholesome or comprehensive solution to these industries that need to come back online. And I like going to concerts. I like going to watch sports teams. I think a lot of people do. But being able to do that properly is important, and being able to do that in a way that's not going to risk the health of everyone. So, I think computer vision, it really spans from being able to detect a virus, all the way through to fever detection or, thermal detection to the identity piece. And we're really focused on the identity piece and making sense of that video footage and we'll leave the thermal and fever and that type of work to another specialist, as I think that they'll do a better job than we could do right now with that.
Terrific. Well, make your world safer and smarter. It's a lot more than just detecting more than faces, if you will. Visit trueface.ai. And that's TRUEFACE.AI. We'll get you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Sean Moore, the CEO of TrueFace, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. We've learned a lot, and I can see where this is headed, hopefully to help many more of us as we go further into tomorrow. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Sean Moore with TrueFace.AI. I'm Dave Graveline. Be sure to hit us up anytime at your convenience at intotomorrow.com. And we continue bringing you further Into Tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network.